Let me encourage you. Welcome, everyone. Let me encourage you to use the playing of the bell choir as a time to prepare yourself for the evening service.
You want it up higher? I think you need to put this a little closer to your mouth. If it doesn't interfere with the glasses. You got the thing?
Welcome to our 30th annual service of Lessons and Carols. Yes, it has been 30 years now that we have been hosting this service. My main task right now is to give you directions for what you do after the service. So pay close attention, if you would, please. If you are staying for the buffet, which I trust you will, at the end of the service, we want you to go out the front doors and then around Oglethorpe Avenue and down and then through the two doors where the stairwells are into Olmsted Fellowship Hall. If that makes you nervous because you're older and frail and fragile, then you can go down the hall this way and access Olmsted Hall, otherwise known as the basement or fellowship hall, that way. There will be equal carving stations both in Telfair Hall, otherwise known as the chapel, and in Olmsted Hall, so you don't need to move from place to place. If you have a child who is participating in the service, listen carefully, you are also to go out those doors. And then you are to go around down the lane to the Whitaker Street building and pick up your children immediately. And not wait. So if you will cooperate with that. And then if you have children in the nursery, unless I get corrected between now and then, you're to get the nursery children by 7:50. All right, I think that that is all the announcements, and I don't see any of my bosses telling me that I said anything incorrect. So let me welcome you with the standard welcome for this service. Beloved in Christ, at this Christmas time, let it be our care and delight to hear again the message of the angels and in heart and mind to go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass and the babe lying in a manger. Therefore, let us read and mark in Holy Scripture the divinely inspired account of the loving purposes of God from the first days of our disobedience to the glorious redemption brought to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. But first, let us pray for the needs of the whole world. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray for peace on earth and goodwill among all your people. For unity and brotherhood within the church you came to build, and especially in this congregation. Because this rejoices your heart, we remember in your name the poor and helpless, the cold, the hungry and the oppressed, the sick and those that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, all those who know not the Lord Jesus, or who love him not, or who by sin have grieved his heart of love. We remember as well, O God, all those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore, and in a greater light, that multitude that no man can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in the Lord Jesus we are one forevermore. These prayers we humbly offer to the throne of grace, in the words which Christ himself has taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Otherwise, the service will continue unannounced until its conclusion.
The first lesson, God announces in the Garden of Eden that the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Thanks be to God.
second lesson. Christ's birth and kingdom are foretold by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, chapter 9, verse 2, and verses 6 and 7 of chapter 9. And he said, "Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Thanks be to God."
The third lesson, the peace that Christ will bring is foreshown. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall he be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall all the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Thanks be to God.
The fourth lesson, the prophet Isaiah announces, "Behold, your Lord comes." Isaiah 40, verses 9 through 11. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. Thanks be to God.
The fifth lesson. The prophet Isaiah foresees the coming of the glory of the Lord. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, and 19 and 20. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The sixth lesson, Zacharias' prophecy, Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 60 and 67 through 80. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Thanks be to God.
The seventh lesson, the angels join the shepherds at the manger, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The eighth lesson. The wise men are led by the star to Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they had saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The ninth lesson, St. John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
back section of your bulletin, you'll see a list of names. I wouldn't want you to think that because I'm standing up here that I had any meaningful contribution to the evening, because I didn't, but they did, and it's really the result of their hard work that this sort of beautiful production is put together. And our many thanks to those who work, who labor so hard to do this, on of which we are such beneficiaries. I thought we would consider for a few minutes here together John 10:10. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." I came. That's not the normal kind of human language. We don't talk about our births as "I came." It implies pre-existence. And so Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation. The carnate part of that is the root word, is the one that we derive our English word carnivorous, an eater of flesh. So to be incarnate is to be in the flesh. It is God in the flesh. God and humanity united in the single person, Jesus Christ, truly God and truly man. He says that he came to do what? He says, "I came that you." Jesus is not like us. I think about 90% of what 90% of us do is all about us. It's all about me. It's all about my fun, my pleasure, my satisfaction, my honor, my prestige. Jesus says, "I came that you." He comes for us. The incarnation is a gift of God to us. Jesus comes to serve us for our benefit. "I came," he says, "that you might have life." It cuts right to the heart of what is wrong with humanity. We are deeply within ourselves dead. Our souls are dead. Just this week in one of the leading newspapers in America, there was an extensive article entitled "The Loneliest Generation." And it was an article about the baby boomers, the 76 million children that were born between 1946 and 1964, who are now the oldest of them are now 72 years old. They're lonely. Why? Well, because unlike the previous generation or two, they didn't marry to begin with. And then those that did marry, so many of them divorced. And now they're elderly and they are alone. The newspapers talk about the crisis of meaning that we have today. What is life all about? People don't know. There's a crisis of purpose. It's also been called. People are confused and they're lost, and life seems to have no meaning, and their lives seem to have no purpose, and they're isolated and they're alone, and there's a desperation that's settling in many people. And Jesus is saying, "Look, I came for you that you might have life, that you might have real life." And there's a deadness in our souls because we're cut off from the source of life. We were meant for God. We were designed for God. If you were to try to warm up a hot dog with a bedside lamp, it's not going to work. If you try to wash your clothes in the oven, it's not going to work, is it? Because they're not designed for that. We weren't designed to be apart from God. We are dead in our souls apart from Him. We were meant to be connected with the source of life. And Jesus on the cross bears our guilt, the sin that separates us from God, and provides the path to reconciliation. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to the Father and life, real life, true life. So I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly." Becoming a Christian, becoming a disciple of Jesus, repenting of one's sin, receiving Him as Savior and Lord, does not mean a life of scarcity. It means exactly the opposite.
It means abundance. That's what Jesus promises. It means abundance. Well, of what does that consist? Well, psychologically, emotionally, it means I have peace with God. Eternity is settled. I know who I am. I know why I'm here. I know where I'm going. Life has meaning. Life has purpose. Life has direction. I've been reconciled to God. My sins are forgiven. I know that I have eternal life. That means peace, a peace the Bible calls a peace that passes understanding. That means I have joy. That means I have a joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. It doesn't mean that all of life's problems have been solved, but it means that I have a knowledge of and a wisdom by which to interpret the problems of life and to resolve them and to overcome them and to have victory in life, victory over my bad habits, victory over my bad temper, victory over my dark patterns of life, victory over the corruption in my own heart. And one of the most important things about what Jesus said when he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, is that these are the words of the Good Shepherd. That's the context within which those words are being uttered. The Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. If you've been with us Sunday morning, you'll know that sheep is a plural noun. In English, it can go either way, but in Greek, it's plural. He lays down his life for the sheep. He brings the sheep into the fold. They're part of the flock. The abundance is as a part of the flock, a part of the whole. He saves his people not in isolation, but into community. In other words, it's the remedy for the very thing that so many of our fellow modern people are struggling with. They're isolated. They're alone. Well, redemption takes place in a context of a community. The sheep are brought into the fold. They become a part of the flock. One of the images from tonight that I carry with me is the recognition that children who were a part of this service 30 years ago are now having their own children, and they are participating in this service. So our children are growing up, they're having children, and they're bringing their children now. They're bringing them up in the church. They're bringing them up so that they will confess Jesus as Savior and Lord. And they are participating now in this service of lessons and carols. And you can see the blessing of God upon the children and the children's children and the children's children generation after generation. And that doesn't mean by a long stretch that this is somehow a perfect congregation with perfect people with perfect children. We have our prodigals. It's in a very enticing world for our young people. And they are very much in tension with the world that has abandoned all standards and for which there is no truth. And the only truth is what's true for me, and the only right is what is right for me. And so they are so often victims of, corrupted by, wrestling with, struggling with this world. Don't mistake at all what I'm saying, as though the community, the fold, the flock into which our people are saved, is a congregation full of perfect people. No, deeply flawed, wrestling, struggling to be faithful disciples. And yet, unmistakably, you can see in the children and the children of our children, you see the gospel promise of abundance, of abundant life, personally, individually, certainly, foundationally, fundamentally, but also, what a great, great privilege. What a great, great joy to be part of a church. Jesus said, I will build my church. It's the only thing he promised to build. I will build my church. He's building his church. Full of sinners and flawed people. But nevertheless, through it all, we're able to see the blessing of God prevailing, the grace of God prevailing in the lives of our children. And sometimes they wander off to a distant country. And they remain distant, maybe for years. And yet we are trusting that God will draw them back into the fold. And to see the children of our children is a reminder that that's what he's been doing since Pentecost. Indeed, going back to Abraham, shown himself to be a God to us and to our children. As we pray together. Our Father in heaven, we would not presume upon your grace. But even as we have received your grace in Christ, God incarnate, who came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, we pray, O Lord, that you will continue to pour out your blessings upon your people and upon the children of your people and the grandchildren of your people for generations to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our concluding hymn is number 230 in our hymnals, Thou Who Wast Rich Beyond All Splendor. Let me remind the parents of the choristers, out those doors, down the lane, Whitaker Street building, pick up your children. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are those who are called by you both to feast and to fast, and we thank you we have an opportunity to feast. And we pray, O Lord, that you will bless the food that has been provided and give us strength and nourishment and bless us with good health and wholeness so that we can better serve you. And we pray for your blessing to rest upon us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.